Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Anda bersama saya Nina Rozman dalam Pantau Belanjawan 2023. Seperti biasa jam ini kami akan bawakan pelbagai perspektif, sudut pandangan, idea serta cadangan mengenai inti parti yang telah dibincangkan di Pantau Belanjawan 2023 ataupun bajet yang lalu oleh kerajaan. Dan sudah tentu kita akan mengambil kira juga perkara yang belum ada dan memberi perhatian secara keseluruhan dengan membawa penganalisis pakar untuk mengulasnya dengan lebih lanjut. Sementara itu, kalau kita tengok amaran daripada Met Malaysia, kajian laporan mengatakan Malaysia akan mengalami hujan lebat, ribut petir, kemarau, cuaca panas yang dijangka akan berpanjangan sehingga Ogos ataupun September. Dan ini menunjukkan Malaysia mengalami perubahan iklim yang amat ketara sehingga memberi kesan langsung bukan sahaja kepada kita manusia tetapi kepada haiwan, persekitaran dan sebagainya lagi. Dan apabila kita menunjukkan keadaan ataupun situasi di Malaysia ini kurang baik, sudah tentu setiap individu, syarikat maupun organisasi akan beralih kepada solusi ataupun pendekatan alternatif seperti tenaga diperbaharui seperti tenaga solar. So, tentu bagaimana untuk kita faham kepentingan tenaga solar ini, saya akan bawakan tetamu kita yang sudah berada dalam studio merupakan Joseph Lee, merupakan rakan pengurus gagasan solar. And I want to say thank you very much Josh for joining me in the studio to discuss about a pressing issue during this time. So basically when we talk about solar energy, maybe you can help us understand why do we need to understand the importance of solar energy and what the future potential future holds for the sector.
Yeah, so solar energy is very important because it's going to be one of the largest sources of our electricity, so our power generation. We're looking at either it's going to be number one or number two. So historically, civilization or the world has been powered by fossil fuels like coal and natural gas. But these two sources are very dirty, so they release a lot of greenhouse gases, and that is interfering with our climate. Specifically in our context today, that's resulted in the disruption of the water cycle. So the water cycle is involved in the production of rain, the evaporation of water into the clouds, and whether there's a lot of rain, there's too much rain or too little rain, that can result in droughts. That whole cycle is being disrupted. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing on a global scale, as well as in Malaysia now, there is a huge push to reduce these greenhouse gases. And one of the largest sources of these GHGs is from our electricity generation. Mm-hmm. So in the coming few decades, we are going to... So currently, Malaysia's roughly about 75% of electricity in Malaysia is powered by natural gas and coal. So 25% of that is in the form of renewable energy. And from that 25% that is generated from renewable energy, a majority of that 25% currently is hydropower. But eventually, we are seeing that solar energy will make up the majority of this renewable energy mix. And right now, even though renewable energy is about 25%, we are looking at something like, by 2050, we're looking at something like 50 to 60% of Malaysia being powered by renewable energy, with the vast majority of that being in the form of solar energy. So I guess the importance of solar energy is that we need people to understand that what it is, it's a tool for generating electricity, and not something to be scared of, not something to fear. Personally speaking, I've been in this industry for about 10 years now, mm-hmm. and I've come across a lot of opinions regarding solar energy in Malaysia where people are asking things like...
Is it a lot of bad or good?
Well, I'm going to share the bad.
Okay, with the bad first,
So just to give you some context, like some of the concerns from businesses or houses, so residential units, some of the concerns regarding solar energy could be in the form of something as humorous as, will my roof catch fire?
Okay.
Or does it does solar energy, do solar panels emit radiation that will cause cancer?
It's like the memes of jokes within the solar energy topics.
Correct, okay. Correct. So this kind of mindset is, or these kinds of questions can be easily answered or addressed through increased awareness from NGOs, from government organizations, from the media, right? Absolutely, there is no danger as long as the solar panels are properly installed. So that's one of the things. Like, we want to let people know that this is completely safe and this technology's been around for decades. It's very important so that we reduce our greenhouse gases, so that our environment is not disrupted, just like we are seeing right now in Kelantan and Kedah.
Correct.
The water cycle, the rain, the drought.
Water shortage, yeah. Yes, droughts.
Yeah. So there is no short-term fix to this problem. It is a long-term issue that requires the cooperation of lots of different stakeholders. So we're talking about the government, the business community,
agency, NGOs, yes. Academic institutions, yes. And a lot of them, so you can take it. So you've said like 25%, that is less than 50% of people who consume solar energy in Malaysia. So basically, can you share us from the 25%, what is the prime factors, or maybe the prime growth for the solar energy industry in Malaysia especially? And can you share with us what does this industry is facing in terms of challenges in achieving sustainable growth for solar energy?
Okay, so just to clarify, that 25% is actually the entire renewable energy production capacity in Malaysia. And right now, from that 25%, a lot of it is actually from hydropower. We're probably seeing ballpark figure right now from that 25%, a quarter of it. So 25% of that 25% is currently it is currently electricity being generated by solar energy.
Okay.
But we're seeing massive and exponential growth in the solar energy industry. So in terms of what is driving the growth of solar energy today, I would say that would be the business community. And in Malaysia, we roughly divide electricity consumers into three categories. There is residential, commercial, and industrial. So when we talk about the business community, we're talking about commercial and industrial. Mm-hmm. And this C&I portion of electricity consumption makes up roughly 80% of the total electricity consumption in Malaysia. So a majority of the electricity is being consumed by the business segment. Mm-hmm. And what recently has driven the increase in demand for solar energy by the business community is the price of electricity for the business community, especially large companies, has increased. The reason why this electricity has increased, or TNB was forced to increase it, was because the price of coal and natural gas, due to the pandemic, supply chain issues, as well as the price of the commodity itself, spiked. So there was no way that they could maintain the tariff rate for the business community, right? Because then TNB would be making a huge loss, which isn't sustainable. So actually, in the first half of 2023, you can look this up. The figure is something like 10 to 11 billion ringgit worth of subsidies that the government had to provide to TNB in order to cover part of the deficit.
Billions.
10 or 11 billion subsidy in the first half of 2023, just to cover the whole. Because of the increase in natural gas and coal prices. So TNB actually uses natural gas and coal to generate electricity, but the tariff rate doesn't change.
I see.
Even though the natural gas and coal prices actually change.
Okay.
So if the inputs change, so natural gas and coal increase in price, but TNB remains selling electricity at the same price, they're making a loss. Okay. So in order to make up for that loss, they actually had to increase some of the tariff rates for certain segments of the business community. And as a result of that, these businesses that faced this increase in the tariff rate, they're feeling the pain lah. Mm-hmm. They're feeling the pain. So they are looking for alternative solutions. And solar energy is the most immediate solution for that. Because they now, if they install solar panels, they can generate their own electricity mm-hmm. and protect themselves from the increases in TNB's tariff rate. So we're looking at the demand being driven by these tariff rate increases for the business community, which is the biggest consumer in Malaysia. Yeah. Apart from that, another huge demand driver is that lots of businesses actually have to adhere to ESG requirements, increasingly so. So it has been mentioned before that access to financing would be limited to companies that are not ESG friendly. So they don't have this sustainability reporting, that sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So access to financing. Finance is the bloodline of business. So if you stop that, then it's not a good thing for businesses. So this whole ESG movement is another demand driver, mm-hmm. as well as the fact that Malaysia is actually an industrial. There's a large industrial segment in Malaysia. So we're talking about manufacturing or fabricating products for international companies. Let's say, as an example, Microsoft, Apple, all these things, all these companies. So a lot of products by these international companies are manufactured in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And those companies, the so-called buyers of what we manufacture in Malaysia, they have ESG requirements that they have to prove and report mm-hmm. to their stakeholders. So their own governments, their own investors, their customers, and so on and so forth. And so in order for them to make the decision to manufacture in Malaysia, the Malaysian manufacturers or the manufacturing partners in Malaysia have to be ESG friendly. Otherwise, they would not be considered to manufacture for these international companies. So I think these are the two big drivers.
Yeah. One because of the ESG factor and the business segment consumption. So basically, you also mentioned about the tariff, where tariff was not increased while natural coal and natural resources...
Natural gases and coal
mm. has increased. So basically, who should step in place to help facilitate the issue within the tariff? Can we say start from the maybe policies, regulations and even incentives? How from these three can help to regulate within the tariffs issue?
So the tariff issue is actually something called an ICPT. So it's called the Imbalance Cost Pass-Through. And that is implemented by TNB. And it's actually changed on a biannual basis. So every 6 months, they actually change this tariff. It gets a bit technical, but they basically peg it to the price of natural coal and gas for what they expect to be that following 6 months. Mm-hmm. So for the first half of 2023, because of the fact that natural coal and gas increased so much in price, that ICPT so-called tariff, which is a separate tariff from what we normally see, mm-hmm. it's kind of like an additional item in the electricity bill. Mm-hmm. That particular tariff was increased by 540% for large companies. So the rakyat and smaller businesses, SMEs, they were basically protected from all of that. Yeah, so only the larger companies like MNCs, they got the hit, they got the cost of that. Mm-hmm. So where the subsidies came in place was because of the fact that residential and SME TNB tariff rates did not experience that increase. TNB didn't increase that. So that's why the government had to step in to subsidize that portion, which amounted to about 11 billion ringgit lah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Surely, I want to say this is a very good sharing, as you mentioned, that regulations, policy is one of the parts that helping to regulate and develop the solar energy industry in Malaysia. But we will also want to understand what changes do we need more to promote sustainable and equitable energy future in the many more years. But don't worry, we'll get to it after this. Pantau Belajar will be taking a short break and we'll be right back. And we're back on Pantau Belanjawan 2023 with our guest Josh Shilp Lee, the strategic partners of Gagasan Solar. I want to say thank you very much, Josh. This is quite a very interesting and serious topic to talk about solar energy. Maybe it's not a very popular issue currently, but it's emerging. We can see it's very emerging. Maybe you have shared maybe some parts of how the regulations policy has affected, regulations in Malaysia has affected the solar energy industry specifically. But now you want to understand particularly for different roles of stakeholders like the governments, the agency, the businessmen, homeowners, NGOs and even academic institutions. How all of this can help in promoting and adopting solar energy?
Okay, maybe I'll start with, because there's a whole value chain over here.
Yes,
so I'll start with the government first. So by and large, I believe that the government is doing a great job, actually. So we are actually close to our targets. So our original target for 2035 was supposed to be 29% RE, and we're currently at 25% already. So it's like we've blown past our original targets, and because of that, the government actually set higher targets, which we are on track.
That is always the case, higher targets every year.
But you know, sometimes if we are slow, so that the targets actually get reduced. So in our case, renewable energy targets increased because of our good performance in Malaysia so far.
Congratulations will be one of the big part of it.
Congratulations to the government and the people.
Credit to them as well. Yeah. Okay.
So in terms of government policy, I think by and large we're pretty good at that. The only thing I would say, and this is probably a minor issue, is the processing times for, you know, submissions and whatnot by the various stakeholders involved. So GLCs, government bodies themselves. Some of these can take maybe 1 or 2 months. So without getting too technical, in order to develop or install solar panels, right, there are multiple approvals that are needed in order to proceed and start using solar energy, right? So because of that, like, some of these applications and some of these requirements, some of these processes require like a month or two. And that's fine. I mean, I'm just saying that if we could reduce that to 1 week or 2 weeks, then we would see a lot faster development of renewable energy in Malaysia. So that's the only thing about the government sector. In terms of the business and the residential sector, I think what's important here is an increased awareness, so that there is this understanding that solar energy is the future. It's safe. It's good for the environment. It's good for your financials. Whether you're an individual or if you're a business, you're actually going to make a return on investment by installing and using solar energy. Yeah. So from an academic or institutions and NGOs perspective, I think the NGOs play a vital role, and also the media plays a vital role in this increased awareness. As I said before, just going back to the point, so that we all know as a society that this is the future. And there is an additional item, and also it might be a bit technical, but I believe that this is crucial but not very well understood, and there's not much awareness on this issue in terms of renewable energy, and specifically solar. And this is an item which the government has to kind of step in, and they're already making their way on the path to this, and also financial institutions. So this would be this problem has to be tackled by financial institutions, whether they're local financial institutions or international financial institutions and the government, which is that we actually have ways to go in terms of investing in the development of our grid. So our electricity grid, there needs to be more investment in that, because we need to change the grid. So far, the grid has been developed for natural gas and coal electricity.
So, I see.
Yeah.
I want to put something into from the issue about, you know, climate change. It's increasingly noticeable in Malaysia, as we can see, with the floods that has been affecting in Johor State, with 50,000 is affected, and Kedah, Kelantan, having problem with shortage of water. So from this, and we have to add one more, the festive season, Raya, and the more upcoming festive season. So people will do a lot of travelling, maybe mitigation from the climate change's effects, and moving around, travelling to a family house, business meetings. And we can understand it's the high usage of electricity is inevitable. Mm. So how can we understand that solar energy can help reduce the electricity usage? Mm. Help us understand how can this solar energy helps reduce the impact on usage of electricity usage, especially in the high times, in the high demands of high times.
Okay, so the most immediate and direct way that solar benefits electricity usage is actually that solar energy, so the sun is strongest during the noon or the afternoon, and that is when houses and buildings are the hottest. So that is when buildings turn on their air conditioning, right? And in most cases, in a lot of cases, air conditioning is one of the biggest consumers of electricity. So it's actually perfectly timed for houses and for buildings to install solar, because the energy that's generated is generated exactly the same time as when it is required to power the air conditioning. So that is one direct benefit from using solar. Another benefit, or how solar energy actually helps, is that it is actually much more efficient, because the power plant is directly on your roof, and you actually use the electricity in the house itself, right? As opposed to, let's say, a natural gas or a coal power plant that's located a few hundred kilometers away. By the time the electricity reaches your house, a lot of that has been lost. Mm-hmm. So we're actually generating, there's a lot of wastage there. So it's actually more energy efficient to use solar for rooftops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that?
Yes, understand. So basically there's a quite a lot of benefit, but I actually want to touch on financial.
Okay.
Okay, so we understand that clean energy could bolster clean security, energy security, which means it reduces reliance on fossil fuels and help them meet their sustainable economic development and meets the climate change.
Yep.
But current levels, that's quite low, quite low in emerging, quite low in to finance in the transformation of energy system within among the emerging regions.
Yep.
So maybe can we understand what impact does unlocking renewable energy transformation have on global efforts for this?
So this is quite interesting. And the reason why it's interesting is because I believe that this is inevitable, that there will be more international cooperation between different nations for this purpose in the future. So to give you an example of how this would work, right? Let's take an emerging market with no financing, mm-hmm. but lots of sunshine. Let's say Cambodia or Laos as an example, right? So Cambodia, lots of sunshine, not enough financing, and also not a lot of electricity consumption over there. Population is pretty small, relatively not as much industrial activity mm-hmm. as Malaysia or let's say Hong Kong or Singapore, all this. High consumption, but maybe not enough land or not enough sunshine. So the generation, the technical generation capacity of some of these countries is quite low because they don't have a lot of sunshine. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the less developed countries, the emerging countries, have a lot of sunshine. So what could happen is global financial institutions made up of a coalition of developed countries, they usually have a lower cost of capital. So what they can do is invest in emerging markets in order for these emerging markets to sell their energy back to those countries where they don't have a lot of sunshine. And their cost of electricity is very high. Yeah, so it's actually
exporting the energy.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think that if we look at by 2050 or a few decades from now, that's probably what we're going to be seeing.
It's one of our goals, net zero emissions goal, right?
Yeah.
By 2050. Yeah.
So lots of activities going on right now. There are lots of bodies being established by the UN, by the World Bank, by various countries, in fact. Say, for example, Japan has a very low cost of capital. So the interest rates are very low. So, as an example, if they invest in a country with a high cost of capital, a lot of sunshine and not much electricity consumption, like Cambodia, or even Malaysia, relatively to Japan, these countries can then sell that energy back to Japan. I mean, that's an extreme example. Or the neighbouring countries. So they have the resource of sunshine. But the advanced economies have the resource of a lower cost of capital, a high human development index. So the human resource over there is good enough to go in and develop a power plant, a solar plant, and operate that. And then after that, everybody wins. Both parties win.
Win-win situation.
Yeah. So the equator generally has a lot of emerging countries, but perhaps not the best source of capital.
Do you feel like it's too far for us to reach 50-50?
Sorry, say again?
Do you feel it's too far for us to have the win-win situation?
I think we're good, actually.
We're good, okay.
Yeah, so Malaysia actually is pretty good in the sense that we do have a lot of bilateral ties.
Okay,
yeah.
Understand.
I actually think that...
Support from the region.
Yeah, we have a lot of support. I actually think the only thing that we could improve on as a country is... right now, our cost of capital is pretty high, and that's due to the knock-on effects of the US Federal Reserve increasing the interest rates. And the second thing that is not in favour of Malaysia right now is the depreciating currency.
I understand, yes.
Yeah, so these are the two things, but I think that by and large, those are the only two things that... Yeah, you know.
Understand.
Other than that, it's pretty good.
All right, Wensi, thank you very much for helping understand the importance of solar energy to individuals, business partners, business leaders, organisations, governments. How can we work together in achieving sustainable growth, especially in the solar energy industry? And definitely, there's a lot more to discuss and continuous effort to understand how the implementation and the development of solar energy in Malaysia moving forward and in the coming years. And dan semua ini akan kami rangkumkan dalam Astrawani.com dan semua platform digital Astrawani. Sekali lagi saya ucapkan terima kasih kepada Josh Shepley, merupakan rakan pengurus gagasan solar. Sekian saja Pantau Belanjawan 2023 pada kali ini. Saya Nina Rozman, salam hormat.